Now we've got Dr. Mark Thornton of the Mises Institute. Mark, how you doing?
Good morning, Al. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Well, let's talk about that budget deal. I mean, what'd you think?
Well, I think it's very disappointing that the Republicans caved in a situation where they really didn't need to cave in. I think this is a situation where they could have forced the Democrats' hand, and instead they came forth and agreed to repeal the sequester cuts and go ahead with more spending and more taxes, basically on behalf of the Democrats and their own interest groups that support them.
Well, don't you think the reason that the Republicans caved is because they really do want to spend the money? I mean, if they didn't want to spend the money, they wouldn't spend the money.
Well, that's absolutely right. You know, they don't realize the long-term consequences of not dealing with the budget effectively, and they're basically succumbing to the short-run interests of their special interest groups, mainly defense spending, of course, which is on behalf of the Republicans. That's going to get a big increase from what otherwise would have taken place for the 2014 budget.
Yeah, well, let's try to draw the distinction between defense spending and military spending. I think what they're really wanting to do is military spending.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. I mean, it's military spending that doesn't defend the U.S. Any more than all the existing spending. I mean, we spend more on defense, basically, than all the other governments in the world combined. And so we're a massive superpower with forces, you know, throughout the world, with seven carrier groups roaming the planet, with nuclear weapons capable of destroying any place on the planet, with military troops and installations in over 150 nations. We've got military spending that's a huge percentage of the overall economy, and it's a huge percentage of the budget, and we spend more than all the other major countries of the world combined. And so when you're looking at reviving some spending or increasing some spending for the Defense Department, you're basically saying our special interest groups can't afford to take any cuts. And so they lobby Congress, they put the pressure on Congress, and basically the only thing they did to try to offset that is put in a slight reduction in military tensions, and apparently they've reduced that this morning to less than what Obama had recommended. So they initially started off with a 4% cut in future military retirement, and now they're down to 1.2% cut, which is basically they'll increase the amount of money that military employees have to contribute to their own retirement as a way of seemingly offsetting some of the deficits.
Well, now, how much of their retirement did they cut? Not the military, but the congressional guys.
Oh, well, that's another story. You know, they haven't put a dent in the gold-plated pensions that congressmen and senators get. You know, if you're a congressman for 5 terms or 10 years, you get full retirement benefits, you know, for the rest of your life. And so they have a gold-plated deal of retirement pay and benefits. And as far as I know, they haven't cut that whatsoever. And, you know, I think when a country needs to go through austerity, I think that it's military pay, government employee pay, and politicians' pay and benefits that need to be cut so that when faced with deficits, they realize that the money is going to come out of their own pocket rather than out of the taxpayers' pocket. And they've done nothing to touch their own pay or benefits.
Well, I mean, I knew the answer to that one. I just thought I'd point it out. I mean, these guys, I mean, it's disgusting. And the thing that, you know, when Boehner and Cantor and now Paul Ryan, I mean, acting like, well, you know, if you're for deficit reduction, you've got to be for this plan. Well, they didn't reduce it. They increased it.
That's right. That's right. The Budget Control Act that was passed was automatically forcing cuts onto Congress over time, and it wasn't severe cuts. We're not talking about double-digit cuts. We're talking about regular cuts that can be offset somewhat through revenue growth over time. And so the Budget Control Act would have cut the current budget of discretionary spending from slightly over $1 trillion to slightly less than $1 trillion. And this new Republican deal restores about half of those cuts. And, of course, some of the restoring of these cuts are gimmicks, basically. They said that they're going to sell off some of the broadcast spectrum and raise billions of dollars. But, of course, this is money that is literally taken out of thin air and is nothing more than a gimmick. And it's probably not likely to materialize in terms of the amount of revenue that they're projecting. And then, of course, also, they're putting cuts in the budget a decade from now. So in the year 2023 and 2024, they claim to be making cuts that are offsetting some of these spending increases in this year's budget of 2014. But, of course, the Congresses between now and 2023 and 2024 are fully free to restore those cuts. And so those cuts are an illusion. And what we need right now is cuts in the current budget so that resources can be taken away from government and put into the hands of the private sector economy, which is productive and efficient, put those resources in the hands of entrepreneurs who can then use them for something valuable and pay taxes. Now, I'm not for paying taxes, but if you look at the logic of those of that reasoning, by taking away more money from government and taking away responsibility from government, putting those resources in the private sector, you actually create a larger tax base that generates revenue that helps bring the budget in line.
Mark, with there clearly being no will in Congress to do anything about the debt, the deficit, the strength of the U.S. dollar or lack thereof, what do you see happening over the course of the next year or two?
Well, I must say that I'm very discouraged that the Republicans came forth with this plan. I think that they should have forced the Democrats' hand, as a political measure. But that just shows you how weak the Republicans actually are and how uncommitted they are towards reducing the deficit, dealing with the national debt. And I think that also tells not just you and me, Alan, but I think it tells investors in government bonds and people wanting to hold dollars. I think it's going to discourage them from wanting to hold U.S. government bonds and the U.S. dollar. So over the next couple of years or so, I see a continuing eroding of the value of the dollar, and I see a continuing erosion of the faith of U.S. government bonds. And so I would expect that over the next 2 years that long-term interest rates on U.S. government bonds are going to continue to increase. And so, ironically, by not dealing with a deficit, the federal government is going to end up with a much higher interest bill in the coming years, and making dealing with the deficit and dealing with the national debt all that much more difficult. So, again, the sound economics makes things easier and easier, even for the government itself. And by not following sound economic policy, it just makes things much more difficult. And so I think that market's going to react negatively to this. And, of course, we also have the national debt limit coming up probably in late February or early March. So we have some events to look forward here. And investors are going to be paying very close attention.
Mark, it's a pleasure, guy.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you. All right. That's Dr. Mark Thornton. Mark is with the Mises Institute over in Auburn, Alabama. You can get to Mises, MISES.org.